Welcome back to KPCW's This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak to my right. And across the table from us this morning is Michael Rosato Bennett, the director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here today. So tell us a little bit about your film.
My film is a journey that I took, and it wasn't just me. We went into nursing homes, and I was actually asked to just make a short little teeny one-minute film for Dan Cohen, who was a gentleman who was volunteering in nursing homes, and he was bringing people music who had dementia. And he was the difference about what he was doing was he was bringing music from the past of these people with dementia. And I mean, I was a little scared going into nursing homes. I don't know if you've ever gone into nursing homes, but they're an overwhelming experience. I mean, my stepfather very recently was at the end of his life, and he started to have dementia. And we had to, even my own enlightened family, we sort of just fell into this idea of like, oh my God, we have to go into a nursing home, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. And it's like a big machine that, like, almost all of us Americans just, we end up having to make this decision, you know? Do we put this person who we love, who made our life, do we put them in this place? And we have no option, really. We can't take them in our house. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. But so I went into these places, and I saw all of these people. I mean, we're not talking, there are 1.6 million people in nursing homes right now.
Wow.
And nursing homes are amazing places, too, in that they serve us. They provide services that we can't do ourselves. But there's this, but are they the best places for the people that we love? Right. Or do they need to be changed? You know, and so I went in and I saw all of these people just literally sitting in the hall, some of them, especially those with dementia, literally in their own little worlds, like literally lost with no sort of way to connect to the outside world and no real way for people to connect to them. And then, so, I mean, I'm a filmmaker, and you give me a little job and I'll do it. And I went in, I set up my cameras.
You're making a 2-minute film here.
A one minute film.
Half of 2 minutes.
Literally 60 seconds of film here.
Okay, I'll get off track, but I can't even understand how you create an arc. Story arc in one minute.
The idea was that Dan was trying to create a website, and we just literally wanted to put a couple things on there, the website, to show what he was doing. Because people couldn't understand what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the strangest thing, the most amazing thing. The first person who I saw get their music from their past was Henry Dreyer. And I don't know if you know that, but I put together a clip of that moment, mm-hmm. and it went viral worldwide. People all over the world have seen Henry. And what everyone in the world felt is what I felt. You know, I saw a man who literally had not lifted his head in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I saw him like slowly, almost infinitesimally, like awaken, like come back to life. And what happens with Alzheimer's is in certain forms of dementia, is, you know, basically your brain kind of erases itself from top to bottom. And that's the key thing, is that like down at the base, at the bottom of our brain, you know, is our emotional self, is our movement self, is our deepest sort of memories. And if you can excite that place way down deep inside of our brains, like the phenomenal thing about music is that it records inside of our minds in almost in a holographic manner. So when many pathways are dissolved, like there are pathways that we haven't used for decades sometimes, I mean multiple decades, that if you can create an emotional response, it will find those pathways. And Henry, in front of my eyes, like woke up. And not only did he wake up, this is the phenomenal thing. I don't know if you've seen this clip, but this 94-year-old man experienced his music on a level that was far more profound than I had ever experienced music in my life. and I'm an artist, and I'm a musician, and, you know, when I mean, that was really one of the most amazing things for me of all was right. to be challenged by these people that I thought were gone, that had no further use for anyone or even themselves, and then to see this, like, you have to see Henry, you have to see him, because he is a poet and an alive human being far beyond like anyone else in that whole place.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was lost, and all it took to wake him up was to give him a little piece of his own vibration, of his own life, of his aliveness. And that's what, and after that moment, literally, I was like, I'm making a film.
I was just going to ask, how long did it take for you to decide, okay, this is more than 1 minute, this is... This is a feature-length documentary.
When you're a documentary filmmaker, you're shooting and you're looking and you're waiting for that moment that elicits a kind of a body response from you that says, this is something that can move people down in their guts. And when you find that place, you know you have a film, you know? And that first day of filming, I cried five times. Five times. I never cry, you know, because... there is something so central to all of us human beings that we all know deep inside of us that there's so much more inside of us than we get the chance to really express.
Right.
And I felt like that's really what people were reacting to when they saw Henry.
What was the song? What was the music that you played?
I played some Cab Calloway for him. And Cab Calloway was literally his dude. When
exactly.
he was a kid,
you could have played Duke Ellington and got no response, or you know, or something.
Right,
else.
And we
you
were,
just happened to.
Yeah,
things came together.
Exactly,
song and the right person.
Song, brain, person, and this is the amazing gift of this whole idea of bringing music to people, and what Dan has created this organization called Music and Memory, And what the dream is, and why I'm so thrilled that I mean, you know, I almost didn't apply to Sundance because I was like, oh my God, they'll never take me
right.
a film about Alzheimer's and music. That I was like, it's $100, you know?
Yeah.
What? That's it?
$100 is $100.
I mean, $100. Maybe I should, like, you know, I got two kids, but I mean, the fact that Sundance. Like, really my dream, okay? I'm not a kid. I'm 52 years old, okay? I'm at the point in my life where, like, when I saw this and I said, if I do this, I can change life for the better, even if it's just in a small way, for, like, millions of people, really.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what's fueled Dan and his journey as well. It's like, you know, it's like this wind behind us. Like, if we... sort of can get people behind this and bring them into it. You know, it's like, I don't want to just give people music. I want people to be inspired and go by themselves to visit these people and create those connections and relationships.
On
right. It's interesting. My parents are in an assisted living facility, and fortunately, you know, both of them are there and they have each other. But otherwise, it is it can be a very dreary, it's an institutional setting. And the one thing I notice is that there is no music played. They will sit there at lunch or at dinner in a nice cafeteria setting, and it's just so quiet.
Oh, my God.
And one thing I was like, why is there at least not some music playing, you know, maybe, like, again, some music from their time as background? The hell? I mean, is that what you experienced as you went into other places?
The thing is that basically, the nursing homes have gone through tremendous evolutions. They're only about 50 years old. But, you know, at first they were this phenomenal business. They were a great business for a lot of people, and there were a lot of scandals and things that happened. So there was a lot of reform.
Mm-hmm.
And there was using of restraints, there was use of drugs, things like that, which are pretty much we've reformed out of that. And one of the greatest tools we have is music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody in the nursing home industry knows that. There's music, on Friday night, people come in and play some songs, or there's music piped in, usually in cafeterias. Usually there is music.
Okay.
You know?
Chris, you got to make that happen now.
Yeah. I've asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so, okay.
So I'm curious to hear more about Dan, the person that got you started on this track. Right. How did he come to this realization?
You know, I love Dan because Dan is really a very simple guy. He was trained as a social worker, and he got out of social work, and there were no jobs in social work. So he went to computer industry, and, you know, he worked in the computer industry for 20 years. And then, you know, he loves music, and he loves computers, and he was sort of a computer educator in his business. And so then what he did was he just started bringing music to people in nursing homes as kind of a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, the stories that he has to say, like where, you know, there was this one guy who was in the Army, and he was incredibly, like, feisty, and nobody could change him, nobody could bathe him, and, you know, he was just very angry. And so, you know, Dan happened to go in and said, well, you know, what kind of music would he like? And the people that took care of him, who know him at this point probably better than anybody in the world, said, well, he was in the Army. Maybe we could give him, during World War II, maybe we could give him some Army music or something. So Dan put together this compilation of military tunes, you know,
John Philip Sousa,
yes,
marching,
exactly,
military,
okay. Right, and put it on this. He actually put it on the guy's head, and he walked away. He went downstairs to help somebody else, and he got a phone call. He said, "Dan, come up here," and he ran up the stairs, and there was this guy who had been, you know, unmanageable, who was just literally standing absolutely erect with his face, like, looking up into the sky, and his hand in a full salute, and he just was like, he was
transformed,
and they were able to bathe him, to give him, to care for him, you know, and you know, how can we bring, like, the people who work in nursing homes are amazing.
Oh, sure.
They are phenomenal people. Their capacity for love and the care they give to these people is, you know, they should be they should be honored.
I hear their patience is boundless.
But they're kind of inside of a system that ties their hands. You know, if you had to raise your children in a kind of institutional environment, it would be madness. And this is how we're you know, a great, more and more Americans are ending their life in that way.
So,
in institutions.
So in the film, you don't just look at these, you know, personal experiences or these experiences in the nursing home. You also talk to neurologists and scientists,
yes,
about what's happening. Tell us about that.
Well, I kind of told you a little bit about that before, but it's, you know, the music therapists for the last 50 years have known that music has these incredible powers. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to attack in my next film is all of these things that have no language for. You know, like, we have very limited language for music and what it does for us. We know we like it, you know, but it's what music does to us in our beings and communally. There are no words for it, and yet it is phenomenal. And actually, it's a technology that we don't use as deeply as we have in the past. In the past, we had people dancing together. We had, you know, traditions of people singing, and, you know, we're kind of more isolated in terms of the way we use music. So, the science of this is, it's still being discovered. But basically, part of the way Alzheimer's erases memory seems to spare a place called the prefrontal cortex. It's in the front of the brain. And this seems to be a place where both autobiographical memories and emotions kind of coexist. And so luckily this is spared, and these deep sort of root parts of the brain are spared, and this works together to create this kind of magic, literally magic moment that you have to see to believe. Because this has changed my entire understanding of what it means to age and lose parts of yourself.
Right. I want to get to that in a second. We're speaking with Michael Rosato Bennett. He's the director of the documentary Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. And Michael, when you decided to say, you know, this is more than a 1 minute film. This is a documentary, a full length feature. What's your learning curve at that point as a documentarian? Like, you got to sit down. It's like, I have to first understand Alzheimer's and you know, the healthcare industry or so. I've got a lot of education going as a documentarian. Is that getting up to speed?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it took me 4 years to make this film.
Okay.
And I think if I had to make it over again, I could make it in 6 months. You know,
I mean,
you know, there is this phenomenal learning curve that has to be gone over. And I mean, people like Dr. Oliver Sacks helped us.
Did he?
Dr. Connie Tamino, Dr. Bill Thomas, Dr. Al Powers. You know, these are amazing people who, you know, have tried to raise consciousness for people about music and also about nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bill Thomas was a very important part of this whole thing. And he's actually invited me to participate in the Second Wind tour. He's written this amazing book called The Second Wind, and I think people should read him, because he has a lot to say about the way we age in America and the way we and I learned a lot from him.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay. First film at Sundance?
Actually, first film at Sundance and first feature-length documentary.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Jumping in with both feet.
Must have been a good day when you heard that.
I mean, you can't imagine. I mean, it was literally like, I'm here with my family. You know, my children get to see their dad, like, succeed, you know, this crazy. Yeah. Do you know, I made this film the first 2.5 years. I was making it in my bedroom. You know, my wife wanted to kill me. I had two guys working with me in my bedroom. I live in New York City.
That'll change the family dynamic.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. I mean, this is a 4-year process. Yeah. I mean, at some points during that, along the way, you have to think, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the wrong direction? I mean, like,
no,
any
never.
Documentarian.
Never.
Never. Okay, so you never thought.
Never.
Like,
this is the thing about this, is my dream for this film, and what's, it's happening. It's actually happening. Like, we are going to change life, maybe just a small way, for these people. And it's such an accessible, simple thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no good news about Alzheimer's. None. This is the only film ever made that has good news about Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so many caring people out in this world that care about Alzheimer's and want to help and want to have some feeling of that they can help. You know, and that's why I have, like, right now in Wisconsin, the federal government has funded the first 100 nursing home study to see if personalized music can replace the overuse of antidepressant medication in nursing homes.
Wow.
And it's the answer is yes. So, you know, we can reduce drugs that shouldn't even be used on this population. We can inspire people like you. I mean, you know, after you, if you were, you know, after we have this conversation, you're going to go to your mom and your dad, and you're going to start this conversation. You're going to say, hey, Mom, what music were you listening to when you were really young?
Right.
You know, what did you love? And also you and I and everybody else, we can ask that same question about ourselves. And it's a phenomenal journey to go into your own experience of music. And so this is what I'm saying, is that, like, why I had no doubt is because this is a simple, and it's also a technological solution. I want to get, like, the people from, you know, Silicon Valley to say, hey, you guys are amateurs. Let us help you solve this problem.
Right.
You know, how do we get this music to all of these people? You know, there's 5 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's. In 10 years, that number is going to come close to doubling.
Sure.
Okay, so this is on every, there is not a single person who's listening to this who doesn't have somebody who's connected to this. And what we're trying to do is to give them a really beautiful tool, a really beautiful way to connect, you know, which is what we all need.
And a natural way, therapeutic way.
Yes.
Right. I'm sure the pharmaceutical industry may, you know, take some exception to.
No, I think they should, honestly, I think the pharmaceutical industry should underwrite this whole thing. It's
right.
Like, okay, come on. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but in the nursing home population, their bloodstream is the most over-medicated bloodstream in the world, in the literal world. You know, there's fortunes literally. I'm probably gonna get shot for this, but there's fortunes being made on this captive audience.
Sure.
And that can't be. We can't do that.
So at this point, how many people have seen your full film? And then when's your first screening?
My first screening is this Saturday at 2 p.m.
Fantastic.
2:30 p.m. At the Sundance Film Festival. It's premiering. So you asked who has seen the film?
Yeah.
My editor, Mark DeMoller, and Manuel Tsingaris, my two editors, have seen the whole film, and me, and that's it.
Wow.
No one else in the world has seen the entire film. So... And
this Saturday, it'll be premiering.
Yes.
And you'll be there to answer questions.
I will be there, and I look forward to being there. You know, one of my favorite things is I've shown a couple of rough cuts of the film, and when I get to see people after they see this film, you know, they're changed. They are literally, maybe it's only for 5 minutes, but mm-hmm. these people are in a place. This film touches something. I don't know what it is, but it touches something. And something very, very human, and very real.
And a couple more minutes. Plans to continue this.
This is
theme in another film or so.
Yeah, the next film I want to do is I want it to be an 8-hour film, and I want it to literally enlighten anyone who watches it.
Right.
I want it to like go into all of the deepest things that make us human, and you know, that's what I want to do. Probably nobody's going to ever give me the money to do that, but that's what I want to do.
A marathon film.
And, I want to do it in 3D as well, so we'll see.
Big ideas.
Okay. All right.
So my second documentary will be 8 hours long.
8 hours long, yeah. In 3D.
Yeah, in 3D.
And it'll take less than 4 years.
Yes, it will.
All right. Michael Rosato-Bennett, director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. Fascinating subject.
Great.
Best of luck at the festival.
Yes. And it'll be, like you said, there'll be several airings during the
yes, yes.
Congratulations for getting selected. That $100 is going to pay off.
Okay. I'm just so grateful to the soul of the people at Sundance that they picked this film. You know, it just speaks. I'm not saying there's probably a million films, you know, just as good, but that they had the care to choose this. I'm very grateful.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm sure they're grateful you decided to submit it. So it's a team effort there.
Yes.
So Michael Rosato-Bennett, again, director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory, thanks for joining us here, and lots of luck. We want to let you know that every year, one or two films comes out of this shows and gets awards. Jury or audience
That's
favorites.
That's right. So this is good luck.
Okay.
Knock
on my eardrum.
I know, I'm sorry. I knock on that wood.
Okay.
So, all right, let's take a break for some underwriters. We come back, we'll finish up this hour. It's the special Sundance edition of This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
This is Alex Knapp from the law offices of Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, a longtime supporter of KPCW. Jones, Waldo has been serving clients in Summit County since 1875. We can be reached at 435-647-5975 or on the web at joneswaldo.com.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage services, and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Recycling in Summit County is improving. The trick to remember? Recyclable materials go in your larger blue or brown bin, and gray is for garbage. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Yeah.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, special Sundance edition, broadcasting live from Whole Foods. Today is the 5% day that Whole Foods is sponsoring for KPCW.
Right, so 5% of today's proceeds will go to KPCW. We thank Whole Foods for that. We also thank our first hour's guests. They are Michael Rosato-Bennett, director of Alive Inside. We spoke with Trevor Gruff. He is the director of programming at Sundance. Jerem Rowland, director of music programming at Sundance.
Some of the greatest jobs in the world.
Travis Harkness, yeah, he's the marketing specialist. He's going to join us again when we come back for the second hour. We'll be speaking to another couple of directors. They include Todd Miller, the director of Dinosaur 13, and Mark Grieco, director of Marmado.
And then we'll also be speaking to KPCW's own Rick Bruff about his years of experience at the Sundance Film Festival.
The stories he can tell. So it's all of that on the second hour of the Sundance This Green Earth special. NPR News is coming up. We'll be back after that.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Lost and Found, traffic, weather, and local stories. Only in Park City, only on KPCW. This is KPCW Park City.